I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat. They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM. Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Right in the butt.
Good morning, everybody. Hope your football Fridays are going great. We got a lot to get to in the next 2 hours of radio excellence here. If you were not awake this morning, we had the new head coach of Oregon State on our show. Jamarcus Shepherd joined us at 6:30.
He was fun to talk to.
Very fun to talk to. We unintentionally played the Full House theme song when he came on, and he had a good time about that, talking about TGIF. And now we have a shared bond with Jamarcus Shepherd over TGIF.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I was going to say, and I didn't. I was going to go, I bet you this guy's not a Full House guy, probably more a Family Matters guy.
Why were you going to say that?
Well, then you said, what were you watching?
And immediately, Family Matters.
But I was more of a Family Matters guy.
I mean, who wasn't a Family Matters guy?
It was
guy?
Better than Full House.
It's a great show.
That's just like,
it's
that's all. Show. Why would I say that? Because I also was more of a Family Matters guy.
Didn't have Suzanne Summers in it, but other than that, phenomenal show. No complaints.
I really hated Stefan, too. Stefan Urkel?
That's when they lost me. Family Matters was a great show, and when Stefan came around and he was like, you know,
Geek, no geek, hot guy, not hot guy.
We could transform him from being a geek into a hot guy. All of that sucked. That was an actor who felt like he probably wasn't getting enough you-know-what from his role because everybody looked at him as a nerd.
Oh.
And he said, can I play a different character here? Can I be the hot guy? Can I take my shirt off a little bit so I can get some ladies out of this deal?
Really?
I guarantee you that's happened behind the scenes.
See, I almost wondered if it was he was tired of being pigeonholed as Urkel, which coincidentally... You know, he seems like he handles it well, but kind of just you're going to be Urkel the rest of your life.
That's who you are, man. You get some suspenders on.
But I just hated it because Steve clearly had matured to the point where he's still really nerdy, but he treated Laura with a lot of respect. And Laura's like, I'm just going to go for the hot hunky
just
guy.
Just going for the hot guy. Nerds never win, man.
It's just unbelievable. Well, he ended up winning because I think Myra was the girlfriend. She was super crazy, but super hot. So Urkel ended up winning. I think he ended up with Laura at the end of the show.
I don't remember how it all ended. I think I faded out of it. After Stefan came around, I think I faded into the abyss there.
Like, all due respect to Harriet, she's a great mom, but I got really upset when the aunt went away. I was pretty fond of her.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Big fan. Yeah. Big fan right there. Big Family Matters guy, that Jamarcus Shepherd. We'll play some audio for you at some point in the next 2 hours. We'll get to that. I do want to have a fun trip down memory lane. That's at some point this hour. Let's start, though, in the National Football League. So we opened the show with Thursday Night Football last night in a, you know, survive and advance kind of game for Dallas and Detroit. Detroit gets the win, 44-30, the final. Entertaining game, back and forth, some dumb plays, high scoring, no complaints from my end. When I look at this weekend, there's one game that stands out above the rest, not necessarily because how I think the game is going to go, but because I was reminded this week of comments that were made. Do you remember when this happened back in the offseason?
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league, having competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That is Ben Johnson. That was at his introductory press conference in Chicago.
Are they friends and he's ribbing him?
I looked into this. I saw a Matt LaFleur interview that he did shortly after this on Pardon My Take, and I went back to find, like, what was his response to this? I was going to pull it, but there's not a lot. It's mostly PMT and Big Cat talking to him. He didn't give a lot. They don't know each other at all. This isn't like a McVay.
That was legitimately a shot.
This is not a McVay Shanahan, like a little bit of a ribbing. Like, this is, there's no relationship. They don't, because he was at, they asked him point blank, like, do you know Ben Johnson? He's like, no, I have no relationship with him. They've obviously, they shake hands before or after a game.
Wow.
And that's about it. But now the Chicago Bears, who are in first place in the division and in first place in the NFC, coming off a road win against Philly on Friday, are now going to Lambeau Field. And we get our first Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur game in the NFC North.
So is this a play caller angry thing? You think that that's what it is? Like, he's kind of anointed. Look,
I don't know. O'Connell's, it was a weird shot to take. Everybody said at the time of like, why?
Because you're the Bears and you hate that team a little more than you hate the others.
I get it, but
that's the biggest of your rivals in that division.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong there. It's a massive rivalry.
So like,
and the Packers have dominated this game for 30 years.
Yeah, did Rodgers lose that game like twice his whole Packer career?
He did
career?
The discount double check, I own you, multiple times. Like, this is a well-known thing.
This is kind of the game of the weekend in my opinion too, because I think this game, much like what you said, and I thought you were right, on Indiana-Ohio State, where it feels like despite them winning at Autzen freaking Stadium, that game was so long ago that most of the pundits are just taking Ohio State because of the Indiana hasn't done it long enough thing.
The entire public is too. That is the most bet ticket in all of college football this week is Ohio State -4. And I think Oregon minus whatever it was the most bet line that weekend at college.
I'll see if I can find what the most bet NFL ticket is, but I'd venture to say most people feel this way about the Bears still.
Let's see if I can find
that. It's like you're not proving it to me. Now look, part of that is Caleb's having a fine season, but not like a stellar season. He's obviously having completion percentage issues, which is a big thing they've addressed. But to what you've said about the Bears, like, you think they're terrible, and then they win again. And then you're like, I still think they're terrible. And then they win again. And you're like, all right. Like, if they win this weekend at Lambeau Field, having had the defensive player of the month in the NFC, their offensive run game has been great. What's your takeaway going to be come Monday when we bring up, dude, the Bears did it again, and they're 10-3 leading the division?
It's funny because I would have said the same exact thing that you said, that everybody's still doubting them, because I know in the back of my mind there's still that thing rattling around of like, yeah, you beat Philly, but they are on both BetMGM and DraftKings the most bet ticket in the NFL this week.
Okay, so
people are all, 77% of the tickets on DraftKings in that game are on Bears +6.5. And it doesn't have a total number on BetMGM, but it goes Bears +6.5, Seahawks -7, Texans +3.5, Broncos -7.5, and Bills -5.5. Those are the five most bet games in the NFL this weekend.
Good to know. I should eliminate all my spring line picks.
I'd like three of those.
I don't want to be with the masses.
Hey, how do the Raiders score on the Broncos? That's got to be a lock, right?
No, that is a lock. The Raiders are the worst team covering the number.
That one's a lock. It feels like a lock.
Biased statistical.
But that's interesting to me, because I would have said the same thing as you of everybody still probably doubting them. But clearly, maybe it's just about the line.
Green Bay's been funky, though, too. Like, that's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. And they both had a long layoff, so there's not a short week thing, right? Packers play on Thursday. Bears play on Friday.
I got to think the under's the play in that game.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago's defense hasn't been bad as of late. Caleb has been struggling to complete passes
at
times.
In Lambeau, where it might be snowing.
I think it's 18. Let me check out my Saturday weather. Right now, it says 18 and just cold.
Can't we just see Chicago leaning on the run game, and it's not, it's not going well, and it's...
Yeah.
7-3 at halftime of that game. Like, I can definitely see that playing out. So I think they can go such a long way.
10% chance of snow, 17 degrees, 8-mile-an-hour winds.
Freezing.
It's chilly.
How fast is the wind?
8 miles an hour.
I think that's a situation where Chicago can win that game, and you're going to get a whole lot of people, even despite the gambling angle, that are going to have, you're going to have to come in Monday and say, yeah, dude, they're really good.
I mean, the take is going to age
poorly. They suck, but they're really good.
And this is funny because this text comes in, and I think this sentiment is out there. The Bears have played crap teams, and they're barely winning. The Packers are going to win this weekend. Like, both these teams have played Philly in the last month. Green Bay couldn't get a first down on that defense, and they lost at home.
You'd also
and
tell
Chicago
me,
just went to Philly and won on Friday.
You'd also tell me you think Carolina sucks, and who beat Green Bay in Lambeau Field like 3 weeks ago?
Did. Carolina. Exactly. So I can't wait for this one, man. I think you add that to it. I think the Packers offensive coordinator came out and answered questions on it this week. He was like, yeah, dude, we remember when he said that. So this is setting up to be a fun rivalry for years to come with Love and Caleb and young head coaches and all that. We'll see if there's some fireworks there, but that's one that has been a fun rivalry for a long time, completely dominated by one side. Mm. And I know Bears fans are probably hopeful now as the changing of the guard, but it's not like Green Bay's going anywhere. And massive, the winner of that game is the front runner in the NFC North at this point, because Green Bay has got two head-to-head wins over Detroit and Chicago at 9-3. If they lose that game, I believe the Packers would be in first place with a tie, if you will. So a big one in the NFC North this weekend.
Well, they'd probably own the tiebreaker, wouldn't they?
Well, the Packers would be 9-3-1. Yeah, 9-3-1, the Bears would be 9-3. So that or 9-4,
no,
excuse me.
Now.
They would be
so
9-4
in first place.
So the Packers would be in first place, yeah. Elsewhere in the NFL, I want to get to a couple other games this weekend, including what do we make a Sunday night? The nail, you know, for me is
we got two divisional race games, too.
We got an AFC South title game going down. And also, where do we put the stock in this team after what they did last week? Because I have been a doubter, but last week, does it open our eyes or was it about the opponent that they were playing? We'll have some more NFL stuff coming up next on The Fam.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, a quick bit of news, and we'll dive back into the NFL. For those curious and wondering, less than an hour from now, we will get the official announcement on Chris Henry Jr. live on the Pat McAfee Show at 9:10 a.m. this morning.
He's announcing it on McAfee.
He's announcing live on McAfee, where he, I think today is the deadline. I think he got a sign. I think the window closes somewhere today, and then it opens up again later. But I think there's only a 3-day window to sign, so I think he had to make his call by today. And he will decide in less than an hour. So when we know, we'll be on the air when it happens.
We got
so
a crystal ball.
Everybody crystal balled it to Oregon yesterday on Rivals and on Three.
Oh,
with a 60% confidence meter. So I don't know if that does anything for you, because 60 is pretty low. And all of a sudden now there's a graphic on here that they've tweeted out that LSU's in the mix. What?
I mean,
what are we doing,
Kevin? Dude, the money.
Here comes Lane, baby. So that's gonna happen at 9:10 a.m. this morning, and we'll watch it and let you know as it happens. Let's go back into the NFL this weekend. I'm going to ask a question about a team who had a very impressive win last week, and their division is certainly up in the air. And I have poo-pooed this. I have thought to myself, there's no chance. They're not good enough on one side of the ball. But they're on the road in Buffalo this weekend, and the Bills are one of the most bet-on tickets in the NFL at 5.5. Joe Burrow came back. The Bengals' defense magically looks a little bit better. I don't know if that has to do with Baltimore's issues offensively. They smoked Baltimore in Baltimore on Thanksgiving, and we didn't spend a lot of time on that game. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. They are two games out of first place, but you get Baltimore and Pittsburgh playing each other this weekend. They're both 6-6. And if Cincinnati is to win, I mean, you're still technically alive in the mix. You have another game coming up against Baltimore the week after this at home. Where are we at on Cincinnati and where are we at on Buffalo? Because speaking of Green Bay being funky, let's not act like Buffalo is out of the weeds yet. They have also been incredibly funky this year.
Yeah, Josh Allen didn't do much of anything. It was the James Cook running show last weekend against Pittsburgh, and it took them a while to get scoring. Like, they when did they start breaking away? Was that the third quarter?
It was pretty low scoring for the majority of the first half.
And not then much points.
Chunk runs happen, and you're like, all right, this game's over.
I mean, look, Buffalo, I think all these teams kind of are what they are, and it's hard to see their identities or how we're feeling about them changing all that much. On your Cincinnati point, like, do it for three or four straight weeks where
your defense
shows me it can give up less than 20 points. Like, last week was not – Burrow was good. He also – I think he was like a 50% completion percentage.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to like he was stellar, but it was his first game back
first
in a long
game back,
time.
You give him a little bit of leeway there, yeah.
He obviously is Joe Burrow, so there's no doubting that. It's – was that more about Baltimore's broken offense than anything else? Because scoring just 14 against that defense – seems like it's a you problem and not a their defense is suddenly good problem.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I also just wonder sometimes the psyche of a team of going in defensively knowing, and that's actually unfair because Flacco had games where they lit up the scoreboard, so it wasn't like they weren't scoring points without Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But I just wonder the general upping of moods or care or interest, like, hey, Burrow's back. We got a shot. Let's go do something. And they play well. But to your point, Baltimore's been really bad offensively.
How did they look against the Jets?
Since Lamar's been back.
Yeah.
It's been ugly for them.
I just kind of have to wonder, and maybe this
they
is...
get Pittsburgh at home this weekend, talking about divisional matchups. The 6-6 Ravens and the 6-6 Steelers.
Well, also talk about bad defense. The Steelers' defense is not good.
You should be able to run the ball on them. Buffalo just did.
That's the other part. Go look at Derrick Henry's numbers last weekend. He had 10 carries.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, I don't know if Lamar hurt? Because I have no other explanation for why he's looked the way he's looked the last, what has he been back, 3 weeks now?
Something like that, sounds
right. I have no explanation why he's looked that way, because it's so out of character for him. Now, if Cincinnati can rattle off three in a row of these...
It would be Baltimore, Buffalo, Baltimore in a three-week stretch
that's
if they
impressive.
Do it.
That's impressive. Now, okay, and look...
Because I got no faith in Pittsburgh, and they just smoked Baltimore in Baltimore last week. That's the only reason I bring it up.
And Cincinnati's not going into Buffalo with the idea they can't win. They literally knocked him out of a playoff game in the snow in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So, I guess I give them some shot here, and if Burrow can continue to play this way, then all right. But I don't think I look at them in the divisional race, despite how bad I think that division has become. I kind of think what we see between Baltimore and Pittsburgh just kind of needs to be outright leader. I mean, the same way I feel about Cincinnati's defense is the same way I felt about Dallas's defense going in. They were coming off a couple impressive games, and people were trying to tell me Quinnen Williams being in Dallas means that defense has changed their entire identity, and I wasn't ready to buy it. And then Detroit went in there last night, dropped 43 on their head. So, I'm not buying what I saw last week from Cincinnati. It's a good performance, good game of Burrow and company, but I'm not buying their defense has completely changed.
Lamar has played four games since coming back from injury.
Thank you.
The Minnesota game, they are 3-1. They beat Minnesota, member, beat Cleveland in an ugly game on the road with the late touchdown to seal it.
He was good in Minnesota. I didn't think he was very good in Cleveland.
He threw two picks against Cleveland, against the Jets at home. It was ugly, 23-10. It was ugly. He's only gone over 200 yards once since coming back. He has one touchdown and three picks, and his completion percentages in those games, 58, 56, 56, 53.
And I want to be a little fair here. He had a touchdown pass that was touched back.
Yes.
Likely.
Yes, he did.
And I think he had another one, and I'm blanking on who. It might have been Bateman, or it might have been Likely. He had another one dropped.
Yeah.
Like, he threw it perfectly where you want to place it, and the dude just straight dropped it.
Numbers could have looked very differently. Yeah. Ravens and Steelers do play this weekend, so that is an AFC North winner. That game is in first place. Baltimore's favored by 5.5. That's a fun historical game. I don't know if there's any excitement for me to watch that, mainly because I don't trust the Ravens with the way they're playing right now. And Pittsburgh, for the love of God, I have no interest in watching them at this point in the year. Where are we at on the AFC South? Because all of a sudden, like a freight train, here comes multiple teams. Both the Jags and the Texans are now coming. Jags are hosting the Colts this weekend. The Colts are a slight road favorite on the road in Jacksonville. Daniel Jones playing with the broken leg through the last couple of weeks. And a lot of that luster has come off for them in Jacksonville. All of a sudden, starting to pile up some wins here, smoking the Chargers a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They got a home win against the Chiefs this year. Like, Jacksonville all of a sudden looking like maybe a bona fide playoff team. How do we feel about the AFC South battle in Jacksonville this weekend?
I'm pretty excited about it. I think the division's been good. We'll see what Houston can do in Kansas City as a 3.5-point dog. That defense is the number one defense in the National Football League, and we know Kansas City's offense can go through real lulls. I am excited about Jags Colts. I mean, look, it's football, so I'm always kind of excited. But like this one, legitimately, I'm curious to see how it goes. The Colts, man, from where they started to where they're at now, they've dropped down a little bit. They're starting to turn into a little bit of a pumpkin, but they still have Jonathan Taylor, do they not?
They do.
Tyler Warren, he's the second best tight end in the NFL by a numbers standpoint this
year. All three losses, by the way, one score games too. Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Houston last week. All one score games.
Well, the Pittsburgh game is a misleading. That was a backdoor.
But the Chiefs game was the opposite, where they led essentially the entire game and then blew it in the fourth quarter.
This game comes down to just simply Trevor Lawrence. The Indianapolis Colts this year are entering the game with 12 interceptions. That's tied for the fourth most in the NFL. So are they going to be able to fool Lawrence pre-snap? I look at Indy's defense. I think Indy's defense is the real deal, Holyfield. And I still have a lot of questions and concerns about Lawrence. Jacoby Myers has fit in really well. He's had a great start to his Jags run since he got traded there. And the run game's okay. I think Lawrence has to do whatever he can. And I know, easy thing to say, don't turn the ball over. But they are one of the best defenses of turning you over. So is he going to be able to read things properly pre-snap? Or how many different disguises are they going to have coverage-wise to get him to throw the ball where they want him to throw it? It just comes down to Lawrence. Lawrence has to be good in this game, I think, for the Jags to win it.
There's not many quarterbacks in the NFL that throw more passes per game that leave you questioning, are you stupid or something, than Trevor Lawrence. There's like five of them a game.
Right.
That you just, I don't know what you're looking at, what you're seeing. And then he'll make seven or eight throws and make you go, oh my God, that's the number one pick talent. And then throw one right into the lap of a linebacker when he doesn't see him. It just, he's very unique in that way. Play this fun scheduled game too with the Colts. So they obviously are in Jacksonville this weekend. Lost 3 out of 4, so they're leaking oil a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know who they close with in the final month of the regular season?
Houston.
So they, after this weekend in Jacksonville, they go on the road to Seattle.
Okay.
Then they get the Niners at home for a Monday night game.
Right.
Then they get Jacksonville at home again, and then they go on the road to Houston. There's no gimmies left for the Colts the rest of the way.
So talk about importance. Every single one of those football games.
All of those games are losable, which is going to leave that. And the Chiefs, by the way, now have that head-to-head tiebreaker over them. Houston won the first game. They just did last weekend, and we'll talk about them in a moment. So that's an interesting thing with the Colts. It felt like they were an unstoppable wagon number one seed, and now I'm looking at that schedule, and I'm like, man, at 8-4, you lose this weekend, you're 8-5. The last four are going to be tough. I'm not picking you to win on the road in Seattle. Nothing is impossible.
Wait, why?
I'm just not going to pick them to win that game. I just trust Seattle more than I do.
You trust Seattle now at home?
Yeah, more than I do Indianapolis at this point. They've lost 3 out of 4 games.
Interesting.
And the Pittsburgh loss was a disaster for them. So I trust Seattle more than I do Indy at this point. I think Seattle's a bona fide Super Bowl contender, and I don't necessarily feel that way about the Colts. So it's just interesting to keep that in mind. And they might lose a game if not only to the Jags this weekend if they lose, but Houston's got a shot on Sunday Night Football to maybe deliver the kill shot to Kansas City on the road on Sunday night.
Yeah.
With C.J. Stroud back, and Kansas City is, of course, the favorite in the game.
You think 6-7 Kansas City's done?
I think so. I think they're done now.
Yeah.
But I think they're done. Like, they can't.
Say it.
There's no chance. There's no chance they're
done. They go 6-7, they're done?
This is the kill shot.
I think, Chief fan, if they go to 6-7, and look, it's not that Houston can't do it. Their defense certainly will put them in it, but
they still have the Titans and the Raiders on the schedule. So they got two automatic wins to get to 8. They're guaranteed to get 8. The other games are the Texans this weekend, the Chargers at home, and the Broncos at home. All three of them are at home.
I could be wrong on this read, because I think Chief fan might just be in a mental state of, we have Mahomes, he's earned enough cachet for us to not do this, but I think if they go to 6-7, a lot of Chiefs fans will also think it's done.
And I would say in the grand scheme of things, like, look, you never want to miss the playoffs. There is a benefit to it long-term. One, you rest up, guys don't have to play for another month. You've had all these deep postseason runs. Sometimes there's a, hey, that's not a bad thing. And then also, let's not act like you couldn't use a cheap contract on your books with a 14th overall pick. Well, you go get a Kenyon Sadiq or somebody in the first round if he declares. Like, there's a benefit to it in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't change the way people view your dynasty at all.
I'd argue you should look at the Golden State Warriors as the shining example. You go on this incredible dynasty run. You get Kevin Durant.
Hit the reset button.
It fizzles out. Curry gets hurt the next year. You're in the top three of the NBA lottery. You don't make the playoffs. And then you get Andrew Wiggins and, like, what, 2 years later, you win the NBA championship. You're like, oh my God, we're back.
Look at that happen again.
I'm kind of with you there. I don't know if that's what will happen. They could win this week and it'll be 7-6 and still have
an argument to be made. They should be real contenders in the AFC, despite how they've kind of looked. I think Mina Kimes highlighted when they're blitzing, they're like 31st and 30th in four categories. Yeah, so like their defense, as I've mentioned before, has taken a kind of a real step. You think we get two or three AFC South teams?
I'm going to say three right now.
Even with that Colts schedule?
I think they win. I don't think they're going to lose all of them. Like, you tell me they...
I think they could beat the Niners at home.
Yeah, Niners at home. Like, they get one. And nine wins should be good enough. Like, Kansas City's still three wins away from getting there. So if you just get one more game, I'm also not going to put a pass on to beat Jacksonville this weekend. I'm not sitting here acting like Jacksonville's an unbeatable juggernaut.
Oh, I'm not either.
And there is a little bit of a fear factor and belief in Houston with the way that their defense has played all year. Like, they just need a pulse out of their offense. They're the AFC version of Denver, except their offense has been banged up all year and they haven't had their starting quarterback. And so you pair just a functional offense with the number one defense in the league. The over-under in that Kansas City game, by the way, 41.5. That's an incredibly low number for a Mahomes game. So I don't even need to see a lot from Stroud. If he just doesn't do stupid stuff, they're going to have a chance to win every game.
Who's more likely to get bumped? Because when you look at the playoff picture right now, Buffalo is the 7th seed at 8-4.
That's why that Cincinnati game is interesting to me this weekend.
Do you think it's the Chargers or the Colts most likely to get bumped out of that?
I would say Colts only because of the schedule. The Chargers are banged to hell. God, Chargers schedule's
Chargers
tough, too.
Chargers schedule's hard,
it's
dude.
It's brutal, too, yeah.
There's nothing about the Chargers that should leave anybody like...
No.
Because that Raider game was a blowout. They took them a while to get that blowout going.
It did, yeah. And they get Philly on Monday night. Philly, no Jalen Carter on Monday night.
At Kansas City, yeah. At Dallas, Houston and Denver.
You got to close with those two defenses.
I think it's coming down to those two.
Yeah, probably will. Chargers would probably, just because of the injuries, would be my bet. But if they beat Philadelphia on Monday night, that changes the equation a little bit. A lot on the line this weekend, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Got off to a good start last night. Thursday night football, highly entertaining. We'll see how it all plays out this weekend. I'm going to get to something that I'm shocked we have not talked about yet at this point in the show that I went down a rabbit hole on last night because I didn't even realize this was a thing. Let's have a fun walk down memory lane next. All right, we're going to repurpose some Jamarcus Shepherd audio coming up in the final hour. The head coach of Oregon State, new head coach of Oregon State, joined us earlier this morning at 6:30. So if you missed that, we'll play some of that for you coming up top of the hour. Spring in the line at 9:30. Get your fake sponsors in 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. You gave me credit yesterday for maintaining my focus through the Chris Henry Jr. watch, which I'm still on, and we'll get decided here in the next half hour or so.
Yeah.
Something happened in the sports world yesterday that I'm surprised that we haven't talked about yet, that I actually went down a rabbit hole because I didn't... I mean, if you had told me that this was happening, I would have known, but I didn't know that this streak existed, and then the way that it ended, it blew my mind. You can't bring it up?
No, because you don't follow it at all. If I talk about this topic, I get crapped on by everybody.
What, the NBA?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this one, I didn't know that this was a thing. LeBron James had scored 10 points, double digits, in 1,297 consecutive games.
Well, kind of. So, I got to follow up on this. You guys know I like LeBron James.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the all-time greats. I have a little bit of a problem with this.
What's the problem?
It's how you said it that's incorrect.
Okay. Why is it incorrect?
It's regular season. He scored literally 8 points in a finals game against the Mavs in 2011.
Yeah.
The streak does not exist. It's a fake streak that's kind of a limited streak.
Okay.
It's still a great achievement in the regular season. And I know last night he was asked about like how he felt, and he's like, we won the game. So like, you know, I'm 40. I'm going to be 41. That's good, but it's always been a little bit of an asterisk for me, and I'm a LeBron guy.
Okay,
literally scored 8 points in an NBA Finals game, which is the thing on your resume that people point to say,
sure,
no, you can't be the GOAT because the GOAT doesn't score 8 points in a Finals game. So it is a streak, but it's a regular season streak that actually doesn't exist because he scored 8 points in a final.
Well, I just took a steaming dump all over the segment I wanted to do. So, all right, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, no, I think...
Last time it happened, the iPhone didn't exist. I had a whole thing ready to go. You want me to just throw my notes out?
Well, I want
to
ask
Swag,
you,
is this a streak for you? Does this care? Do you care about this at all?
It is a streak because they've always separated...
Stats have always been separate.
...regular season and playoffs.
Right, in the history of it, it is. When people talk about it,
it's really dumb. Who cares what people talk about?
But
that's stupid.
As far as
I'm just saying, the streak is regular season games. Yeah. That's the streak. Nobody ever said it was playoff games.
No, I know.
It's known as a regular season record.
I know.
1,297 consecutive games.
Yeah. That's
pretty remarkable.
I mean, but
if Kevin Durant wanted to break this record, he would have to score double digits, play all 82 games for 12 consecutive seasons going forward. That's how far away Kevin Durant is, who is next on this list.
I think Shai Gilgeous is a guy you'd point to with this, and I think Nick Wright did the math, and it was like he literally has to play every game. And he has to score 10 points in every single game until he's 40 to be able to do this.
LeBron has not done this in a regular season game in the NBA since 2007.
And there's a backstory of basically when it happened, he vowed it would never happen again because seeing sub-double digits as a LeBron caliber player makes you feel a certain way.
Yeah. And
I don't mean to crap on it. I don't mean to crap on you. Mm.
I feel crapped on right now. Should I feel crapped on? A little crap on?
It's just a little odd because I do think there's a lot of people that hate the dude. And so, like, this streak has been something that I've been hearing about it for, like, 5-6 years. And the counter is the finals game. And then the other counter is, who cares if you scored 10 points in a game?
That's almost just letting dumb idiots online, though. I mean, look, I get that. When I saw the numbers and then put into context that Kevin Durant is next on this list, Kevin Durant wasn't in the NBA when this streak started.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's active. I think, isn't MJ second?
MJ had like 800 and something.
Yeah. So he blew him out by a total of 400. Six seasons.
Well, he's also played longer than MJ.
Yes. The fact that Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant's on the brink of becoming the sixth guy ever with, what is it? I can't remember what the total of points is, but he's like 4 points away from doing something. He almost did it last night. I can't remember what the benchmark is. And he had a funny answer about,
like that.
Wait, I could have done that tonight? Why didn't I do that? He only needed like two more buckets. The fact that he, for as good of a scorer he is, would have to play 82 games for 12 more seasons and score 10 points in every game for another 12 years, which obviously will not happen. Just to tie LeBron's record, the fact that it's since 2007, Harry Potter series wasn't finished, Instagram didn't exist, Kevin Durant wasn't in the league, Nick Saban had just left LSU to go coach Miami. That's how long they've been going. iPhones were not out yet.
Yeah.
That's how long this streak went on
for.
And I get that scoring 10 isn't a big deal, but just the double-digit streak, I started to contemplate, nobody's ever going to touch this.
So this impressed you.
It blew my mind.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like
I'm crapping. Don't let the internet trolls get to you. They're stupid. Half of them are fake. They're not real people.
You're right.
LeBron's one of the three greatest players in the history of the NBA. If you disagree with that point, you're a dumbass. So who cares? I don't care about a finals game 15 years ago. Can we stop doing this ridiculous debate? Every time this topic gets brought up in your sport, it delves into that instead of just saying, holy S, that's crazy. Wow.
I think it's more of a
statistical
oddity than like something that will because
will anybody ever touch this record?
No. Because you got to look at the longevity of career. How many
players? So if it's just a statistical oddity, then why 18? Is it not impressive? Like, I'm not putting it with the hit streak. I'm not saying it's that level. Or Gretzky's point record in the NHL.
To score 10 points in an NBA game when you're playing on average 34 minutes a night.
Then why is the next closest 400 plus games behind him?
Because he played 8 more seasons than that guy.
Because he took 2 seasons
off. That's a big
deal.
Okay.
I'm not saying, look.
And the oddity part
is. I sound like I'm a hater right
now. I think you're taking a big dump all over LeBron.
But here's the
oddity part. And he ended the streak by making the right basketball play.
I know.
He passed it to Rui when he would have had a shot to continue the streak, and they won the game.
The oddity part is two things. One, he never got an injury in the first quarter of a game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That he went out, or he never got like tossed or double teed up or something weird, something odd that happened in the very beginning of a game that would end the streak.
I understand this is basically how I sound.
Victor Wembanyama was 3 years old when this streak began.
I know. Well, he's the age where we can just make up all of these kind of comments and factoids.
Mike Tomlin hadn't been hired.
He'd not been hired as a Steelers head coach.
Jason Sakanik is still in the NFL. Like, we can make
I had just been. I just won PIL Player of the Year, man. That's all I know this was, dude.
I just want you to do me this because
both of you. Disappointed in both of you today.
You've made me proud that you're sticking up for it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it should be recognized. I'm totally cool with it. I just have been so beaten down as a basketball fan that the instant I feel any kind of happiness and love, I feel like the rest of the world tells me, just shut up.
Yeah, you got to unplug. Who cares? These people are stupid. They don't exist. They're not real. The Jordan Muse account or whatever dumb Twitter things are arguing this.
But also, national pundits are the ones talking.
Who gives a rat's ass?
They give their thoughts on this stuff,
Don't listen to the national pundits. Who cares what Stephen A. Smith thinks about this?
Well, I don't even
listen
to Stephen
A. Don't watch his show. Don't listen to him.
That's fine. I want you to do me a favor, though. because I'm happy that you're sticking up for this. This is a
I went down like a 30-minute rabbit hole on this last night because I would have guessed that he had a streak. I had no clue that this was going on.
This
was
a massive
deal. Day in and day out.
Yeah.
And I saw that he ended the streak, and then it started to compute in my head how many games that was, how long ago that was, what were you doing in 2007? That's sure. The last time this didn't happen.
I
love the fact that it almost symbolized his entire career. Look, LeBron's a douche. We all know he's a douche. We would all be douches if we were the chosen one on Sports Illustrated in high school. I thought it was a perfect symbolism of his career, of a guy who had a chance to do the egotistical thing.
Yeah, because he could have shot
take
and
the
missed,
final
and
shot.
Went to overtime.
And he was 4-17 last night, so yeah. It wasn't like he didn't try to shoot. He didn't have a great shooting night, but he had a look to win or tie the game, and instead he made the right basketball play, and the Lakers hit a game winning three with Rui Hachimura.
Well, who they beat?
They beat the Toronto Raptors.
Correctamundo. Yep. Who didn't they have last night? Luka Doncic.
Yeah, no, Luka
last
night.
So, like, it's not just the streak thing. It's also that, like, that's a huge road win to be able to do it with Luka. They are really putting themselves in a position to be the 2 seed in the West right now. Because if they can win those games without Luka, Luka's having a phenomenal year. Austin Reeves is, it's kind of crazy, and I know you haven't followed it, but, like,
he's having a great year.
He's right now on the trajectory of Kobe Bryant. And people don't know how to process this.
Yeah, talk about having all of a sudden number one guy. He's averaging almost 30 a game.
Yes, he is.
Like, he's been better than Denny Avdia this year.
And when you
watch
him play,
Denny Avdia's been really good.
He hits shots, but, like, you watch him play, and it kind of just doesn't make sense that he's able to do this. This dude was not drafted. He wasn't talked about going into his draft, and he's just emerged as this. I'm with you 100%. I also want you to throw this into your sports buddies group chat, and I want you to tell me legitimately how many people care about this.
Okay, I'll text it right now.
I'll just use your friend group as a sample size here.
I will send the text right now. LeBron's streak of 1,297 games, double digits, came to an end last night.
Yep.
Deal or no deal? Is that
sure.
The question? Do you care? Do you care?
And I want to see if people go meh or no deal.
I'll tell you what, this is a way bigger deal than Devin Booker scoring 70 in a game.
I mean,
this is a way bigger deal.
How
than
many
that.
Players have scored 70 or more?
How
game?
Many players have scored 10 in 1,297 in a row?
None.
Only one.
None.
How many guys have scored 70 in an NBA game?
Well,
a handful.
Dame Dalla did it.
Yes, he did.
They
I'll text
that
it right
year.
Now. Bummer Brandon, man.
No, I'm glad you care.
I'm disappointed.
Made
NBA
happy.
Nerds riding hard wow. Today from my guy LeBron.
Right.
I've
You're
always
right.
Been a LeBron. Who had LeBron as the GOAT on this show?
Oh, this is probably why we get no credit.
Actually, I didn't. Both you guys did. I had Jordan.
Yeah.
Let's go back to a couple of college football notes. We'll get to them next on The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sing it to my
Dirt in here getting poo-pooed for recognizing greatness. When this streak started, I was in third grade. My 10-year high school reunion is this month. That's crazy to me. In 10 years, Dirt's going to drill Teddy ball game with this same LeBron take. Teddy's going to say, LeBron who?
Well,
and now
well, you
our YouTube chat has delved into a debate over MJ and LeBron.
Of course
why
it
are
has.
People so stupid? Why can't we just?
No.
Why?
If it
what
will...
is wrong with your sport?
Oh, there's, God. What's wrong with sports fans is what I
just
say.
Don't get it. Why it's can't literally... we just say this is awesome and then move on?
The problem is the anointing of a guy who had never played a second, the tattoo, the Chosen One cover, ESPN games. This doesn't exist in any other sport.
No.
And it's only that sport that has this problem is that player and that player who
stupid,
never played a
dude.
Second against each other.
It's so stupid.
Just forever being something to yell at each other about. And I would disagree on the Teddy ball game point. First of all, thank you for supporting Dirt. Dirt is right here, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. I was Captain Bummer Pants there, you and were, I'm sorry about that.
And if it gets more people to go look at his basketball record.
It won't.
And aside
nobody
from
will do that because we're stupid. Him. We can't read above a sixth grade level in this country. You think we're going to take the nuance and debate a topic like this?
130 million Americans can't read above a sixth grade
level. Well, Dusty
level.
Brought up a great point in the break because you mentioned the finals game, which I will never forget. That's one of the most shocking outcomes of my sports lifetime. Not the way he played in that game. It's one of the most shocking things I've ever seen.
The J.J. Barea game, I'd say.
It's just wild, right? Yeah. But the idea of if you wanted to have this be a total streak, that is the only time in his career since 2007 he has not scored double digits.
Correct.
He went to 8 consecutive NBA finals.
Correct.
So what is the game streak at if you count regular season and finals games since that J.J. Barea
don't exclude
game?
Exclude playoffs.
Like, he's got to be close to this anyways because how many extra regular seasons did he play in playoff games?
He probably played...
What's it on average? An extra 30 playoff games? Is that too many? 25?
Well, you got to win 16. Yeah, whatever it is.
16
I bet you
and
it's
you lose probably
like
10.
1,500 that it's at now. If it gets broken now.
So that let's just change that to the streak of just actual consecutive games, including postseason since the J.J. Barea game.
The thing I wanted to make on the listener point, though, that this started when that listener was in third grade and he's about to have his 10-year high school reunion. By the way, shout out you. I was there, and yes... You do feel old. We all felt old when the 10-year reunion hit.
Yeah.
You feel even older when the 20 hits.
Yeah, it feels old.
Now, that being said, I see this with my own players of 8th grade girls who watch 0.0% of NBA basketball unless their parents are watching it.
Right.
Ask them who the GOAT is. It's Jordan.
Yeah.
And it's all because their dad will not shut up about it. Teddy ballgame, his GOAT might be LeBron because Dirt will not shut up about LeBron when LeBron's not long played. Is how it goes, man. Kids who don't watch these players, they just choose what their dad screams about.
I just love how every time the name LeBron James is brought up, it almost is like a what's the Pavlov dog that Lanning tried to do with the jump around? Like you hear something,
it's a trigger.
LeBron
triggers.
Like people are just unsolicitedly texting in that MJ's the greatest player of all time. It's like that's not the debate here. I'm not trying to debate who the greatest player of all time is. That's not the point of the topic.
It sounds like you are though.
It's not the point.
He did what? Didn't you compare him to Michael getting the streak? I mean, it sounds like it is. You know, you're just a MJ.
Here
hater.
I was trying to NBA dirt, trying to do something nice for your league, man. What a night. 2007 is a long time ago, dude.
Can't believe you're an MJ hater.
I just hate on MJ.
That's the big takeaway I have
that's
on
all
this.
We do. LeBron couldn't have done this back in the 80s or the 90s. Like, why do we do that? This is cool.
Did somebody say that?
Move on.
Did somebody say that? He couldn't do this in the 80s.
I love how we simultaneously have takes that LeBron is on steroids, and that's the only reason he's played this long, to LeBron couldn't play in the 80s and 90s. Was he allowed to do steroids in the 80s and 90s? Because I think he would have survived perfectly fine if he was on steroids.
I think LeBron might have been more dominant when you could bulldoze people and not have fouls called.
Okay,
constant.
I don't want to actually have this conversation. Stop it. I don't want to actually do this. It's the dumbest thing we do in sports.
You think he would have fallen to the coke problem?
Coming up in the final hour of the show. yeah. I'm walking into that hotel room like MJ. That ain't going to end well. Sprague and Line at 930, 503-864-6326.
That
is the fan text line.
A lot of duh-duh-duhs happening here.
Just appreciate Mike.
Hey,
World
LeBron
Cup final draw is about ready to get started.
Oh, stop it.
Stop it. Nobody
I'm
cares.
Watching this program, and it's like, I don't even know what to make of it. I'm kind of unimpressed.
You
built
out?
This up. It's unimpressive.
You already out? You know what it is?
It's Trump time.
Chris Henry Jr. is going to commit at 9:10 a.m. So I got my eyes on that. Don't you worry.
Okay.
Watching it like a Hawk Duck fans. We'll get to that.
All right.
And yeah, look, it's good. And Jamarcus Shepherd was on the show earlier.
Alexi Lawless looks extra happy today.
Have you seen Landon Donovan's hair?
Have you read about it? I read about this 3 weeks ago, and I actually want to. I know what you're going to say. I'm going to defend him.
If you didn't know.
There's a real write-up about this.
Yeah.
Like, does he have like a medical thing. Condition of no. going bald?
No.
He just went bald and then got hair plugs and they did a write-up on it?
So basically, he started balding a long time ago.
Yeah.
And much like almost every other guy, became a big insecurity for him.
Yeah.
And he's also Landon Donovan. It's not Andy Johnson going a little bald on radio.
Like
it's Landon Mother Bleepin' Donovan. Sorry, I combined you two there. Anyways, right, it's a really good piece. He died. He basically has been open and honest about this. And remember the one where he famously had the horrific...
Yes.
He had just tried to get implants... And they told him he'd be fine, and then it wasn't, and he had to be on TV that day.
Why didn't you just shave his head?
Because he doesn't want to be bald. It's a real insecurity. Yeah. I don't know why you're laughing. It's a real insecurity for him.
I mean, I'm going bald, so I'm okay to laugh at this.
But
I'm a fellow bald. It's okay.
He's documenting this. He goes online on his social medias, dude, and he
have
says...
Have you seen his new hairline?
Okay.
Can we not get so aggressive? Like, can we just do it, you know, a quarter of the way? Like, Jesus, dude, his hairline's at his eyebrows, man. Calm it down, Landon.
He's got the Paul George hairline.
My God, dude, dial it back. Just a hinge, man. Take an inch off.
Does
of
it
that
look
bad
good?
Boy. No. It's the fakest looking hair I've ever seen in my life.
More fake than Breeze? Brady?
Yes. Yes, I think so. Mm. Any hoosies, LeBron's good at basketball. Loaded final hour.
Not as good as MJ.
Next on The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.